on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Coming up this evening, new letters show tensions between the HSE and the National Public Health Emergency Team have been described as explosive. The Assistant General Secretary with Forces says health workers locally feel let down by the government over efforts to provide childcare for them. The Irish Restaurants Association says it has no problem with gastropubs opening next month because they won't be able to operate as before. The ISPCA admitted 6 donkeys and 2 ponies into its care recently, the second large rescue in Donegal in a matter of weeks. And the Education Minister is being urged to clarify the status of the July Education Programme, also known as July Provision. Good evening. All those stories coming up in full, much more besides that. Oisin Kelly will be here with all the latest in sport, and Chris Ashmore will be here with all the latest in farming news and views following this bulletin. But first in news, letters showing a rift between the HSE boss and the National Health Emergency Team regarding decision making have been described as explosive in the Dáil. Paul Reid has said that he is at a loss as to why Chief Medical Officer Dr. Tony Houlihan had announced plans for 100 tests a week without consulting the executive, which would carry out the tests. He said there needs to be better communication between the groups for the benefit of the public. Labour leader Alan Kelly says the explosive letters shows there's disagreement.
It was agreed, and then it was gone outside that process and announced. That is essentially what these letters, in black and white for everyone to read, is saying. But that should not happen. And surely you acknowledge that that was an error and should not have happened in that way.
Well, TDs have claimed they're being fed organic fertiliser by the government over the coronavirus. A number of TDs have been vocally critical of the approach the government is taking as it examines easing some of the current restrictions. Political correspondent Sean Defoe has this report.
In the Dáil this afternoon, some good news from the government. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar said he's now confident that some restrictions will be lifted next week, while the Health Minister Simon Harris said the medical signs are improving.
Hospital admissions per day has fallen again from 20 a day when I was here with you last week to 15 a day. And ICU admissions are also now averaging between 1 to 2 a day from 4 to 6 a day just 2 weeks ago.
But some TDs have been more critical than in recent weeks. Labour's Alan Kelly called the government's approach to some sectors inept, including its handling of a now scrapped childcare scheme, while others, like independent Dennis Nocton, were unhappy with the communication from the government.
The reality is that TDs are now being fed organic fertiliser. And as long as this happens and we're not being given the truth, public confidence in the management of this pandemic will be seriously undermined.
Independent Matty McGrath agrees.
I can't have something said with B and something start with this, but I wouldn't want to see it in the house here. It's just not on.
Cabinet ministers will meet tomorrow to consider the medical advice and make a decision on easing restrictions from Monday. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
The Assistant General Secretary with Forces says health workers locally feel let down by the government over efforts to provide childcare for them. The scheme, which was due to be rolled out from Monday, was due to help nurses and doctors go to work and have their children minded. But it's been cancelled because only 6 childcare providers signed up out of a potential 5,000. Richie Carruthers says serious questions now need to be answered as to why this failed so badly.
Broadly speaking, we would all accept that the government have done a reasonable job under difficult circumstances with the pandemic. But in reality, health workers feel spectacularly let down by the government in terms of what has occurred here. Now, it's 9 weeks ago today, it was the 12th of March, that schools and creches were closed. And the government engaged with us and other public sector trade unions at the time, health trade unions, to say that they would unveil a plan within days for health workers to keep people in work in order to ensure that health workers could continue to meet their responsibilities to their own families and to the public. And this has fallen flat on its face. And the question here is that if we accept that the government have broadly done the right thing at the right time for the right reasons, why has this failed so badly? What has happened within the system But 9 weeks later, we have failed health workers in order to ensure that they are meeting their challenges. Now, across Donegal and Sligo, Leitrim, and across the country, we have healthcare workers who are being redeployed to different places within the health sector, the hospitals, community hospitals, nursing homes, testing centres. So health workers have done their bit and they want to continue to do it. And the government have failed them by failing to provide the necessary provision of childcare.
The Irish Restaurants Association says it has no problem with gastropubs opening next month because they won't be able to operate as before. There's calls for pubs that serve food to be allowed to open in June at the same time as restaurants as opposed to August. The Vintners Federation of Ireland is seeking urgent clarity from the Health Minister on the issue. Adrian Cummins from the Irish Restaurants Association says gastropubs would have to stick to the strict guidelines.
Any drink bought with a substantial meal will be served to the table, but not be at a counter. I think we need to work through these guidelines to make sure that they are give confidence to the consumer, confidence to our staff also, that they're working in a safe environment.
There's a call for a redress scheme for victims of historical sexual abuse within Scouting Ireland. A damning report found people who had a known sexual interest in children were allowed to be moved sideways or even promoted within the organisation. Andrew Louth reports.
This report by child safeguarding expert Ian Elliott found a culture of cover-up, cronyism and a failure to report complaints of sexual abuse. It revealed that leadership, who weren't necessarily involved in the abuse themselves, covered up credible cases in order to protect the scouting movement. Chair of Scouting Ireland Adrian Tennant issued an apology.
We're sorry for the hurt caused to you and the legacy of that hurt, which we know that many of you still carry today. We know we cannot take away that hurt. But we do want you to know that you have been heard. We do want you to know that you are believed.
So far, 356 victims and survivors are known, with 275 alleged perpetrators. Solicitor Norman Spicer of Coleman Legal Partners, which represents some of the victims, doesn't think the apology goes far enough.
Certainly, you know, a desire of mine. I think enough controversy has been raised, including, you know, with this current report, that the state does need to step in. I think quite possibly a redress scheme is something that the government and the state might also need to consider.
The report has been welcomed by the Children's Minister, Catherine Zappone. She says the key is to ensure that safeguarding measures which are now in place at Scouting Ireland are maintained.
The ISPCA admitted 6 donkeys and 2 ponies into its care recently, the second large rescue in Donegal in only a matter of weeks. The animals were discovered living in sheds with conditions inside said to be so bad that the animals had nowhere clean to lie down and had no feed available to them. When examined by a vet, the animals were also found to be in a very poor condition. They were seized as a result of a joint operation involving ISPCA Senior Inspector Kevin McGinley and the local Gardaí. Mr McGinley says the animals were in a lot of pain and discomfort.
More interestingly, on discovery of the particular equines in this case, it became clear and apparent that the equines in question, the donkeys in particular, had their feet recently trimmed in a very, very poor manner, which led to causing lameness and discomfort and pain and suffering. So for that reason, and with the assistance of the Department of Agriculture, a decision was made to seize the animals on that basis.
And they are now, thankfully, in a safe environment. But those kind of sanctuaries, I'm sure, are overwhelmed by not just this rescue, but as you mentioned, it's just the second one in a matter of weeks.
Well, you know, in Donegal here, in the last 2 weeks or so there, we have taken in a total of 16 equines in 2 different rescues. Another rescue involved a further 8 equines being rescued from a bad situation in the north of the county. So it does put extreme pressure on already overstretched resources as we are. So from that point of view, you know, in time, these donkeys for this particular rescue will be seeking homes for the future, and we will be appealing for people in Donegal. If they have an interest in rehoming the donkeys, then the ISPCA would be facilitate that in due time.
The Education Minister is being urged to clarify the status of the July Education Programme, also known as July Provision. It provides funding for an extended school year for children with a severe or profound general learning disability or children with autism. But with the curtailing of the school year, Donegal Deputy Charlie McConlogue says parents now need to know what the position is regarding the scheme. He's calling on Minister Joe McHugh to give guidance.
In the month of July, normally in schools, but it's also available as 40 hours home-based provision and tuition in the home. Now, I think we need to see clarity in relation to whether this can operate this year, because it would be of tremendous support to the students who would avail of it, and also to their families to be able to actually avail of this. And if need be, it should be looked at in terms of pushing it out into August and looking at the home-based provision of it.
Time for all the latest in sport. Here's Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Catherine. We're going to start with Gaelic games, and Donegal senior manager Declan Bonner is hopeful Gaelic football can return at some stage this year. If there is a championship, it will be October at the earliest before players can put on the Donegal shirt, while clubs are being told they could resume towards the end of July when pitches are to reopen. Declan, who is chairman of the Narasa club, says opening pitches earlier would be welcomed and ease the frustration among members.
Ideal if there was a vaccine and everyone back playing football. That's the ideal world, but I think we're far off that at the minute. What type of medical intervention do we need if it's not a vaccine? Even if a vaccine is in place, it's going to take at least 12, 18 months. So it's very, very difficult, to be quite honest. And listening to John Horne on Sunday evening, you wouldn't be that optimistic. But I think from a point of view of the club grounds at the minute, and, you know, if they're monitored correctly, I think those need to open because of just to get out, get people out there. A lot of people use those facilities just to go for walks and stuff like that there, and I think that's important also for mental health issues, and I think that's important.
You're chairman, of course, of Narasa, Declan, and you're a player as well. What's the feeling amongst your club members at the moment?
It's no more than anyone else. I mean, probably frustrated and, you know, not knowing what's going to happen down the line, but I would remain positive that there will be some action. The club date is looking at the 20th of July, and the club players are probably all around the country are hoping that they can get out, maybe get out in smaller groups before that. But I think it's, if at all possible. I think at the minute, if you look at it, there's a lot of good work that has been gone on over the last 6-8 weeks. I think now, it seems to be relatively under control, especially in this area. But, you can't take anything for granted, and you've got to continue to be very, very careful and follow the guidelines that are there. But from a club point of view, I know from speaking to a lot of my own lads here, they're just mad keen just to get back out playing again,
And there's more from Declan Bonner available to listen back now in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Meanwhile, former All-Ireland winner with Donegal Mark McHugh has revealed that he was one of the players who said they would be against a return to action this year. A Club Players Association survey found that 22% of players would not return to training or playing before a COVID-19 vaccine is found. 21% said they weren't sure. The Kilcare man outlined his reasons to off the ball.
I was one of the 22% against it. I did the survey myself, and I just felt there's too many factors involved with going back to play, especially club football. You know, the testing's not going to be up to standard. You know, there's no point saying that, well, there's not going to be people tested every week. People have to go back to their families. People have to go back to their jobs on the Monday. It's all right when we look across the pond or look across to America and see teams are being isolated in hotels. They're being tested every day or every second day.
In golf, Rory McIlroy has confirmed that he plans to play in the PGA Tour's next three tournaments when the season resumes next month. The revised schedule is set to return with the Charles Schwab Challenge in Texas from June the 11th. That's followed by the RBC Heritage and the Travelers Championship. All will be played behind closed doors. Liverpool legend Kenny Shields believes the rest of the Premier League season should be played at neutral venues. The team he guided to the double in 1986 needs just two more wins to be crowned champions. Dalglish himself has only recently recovered from COVID-19, but he feels players are far from sure about returning to the pitch just yet.
They've got a bit of convincing to do to prove to the players that you're not going to have any greater damage and a greater risk of suffering if you go back to play the games. I mean, they'll be tested, every twice a week or three times a week to see if they've picked anything up. And I think that as long as you look after the players properly and do their best, they can't guarantee anything.
Tottenham boss Jose Mourinho has denied newspaper reports he wants the Premier League resumption delayed. There have been reports that Mourinho was demanding a month with his players before the first fixture, which would push back the planned start date of June 12th. In a statement, Mourinho says he was desperate for the Premier League to resume and extremely proud of how his squad has stayed fit during the lockdown. In athletics, world cross-country champion Rabil Fassa has been banned for 4 years. The Eritrean-born athlete, who represents Sweden, tested positive for an artificial testosterone. Fassa won the men's race at the European Cross-Country Championships in Lisbon back in December. And finally, tomorrow Friday, the government is expected to give the green light on phase one of the easing of restrictions, which includes some sports resuming from next Monday. One of those is tennis, a sport which leans towards social distancing criteria. Like in golf, they will have to follow very strict protocols and guidelines. Gerry Clark is head coach at Letterkenny Tennis Club, and he says reopening will be hard, but they have to facilitate their members.
We had a look at this maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we started to look at what we had to do, and we looked through the protocols. And to be honest with you, it would be a lot easier for the club to leave the door locked. But we're not doing that, no. Because we have a fairly vibrant place all the time, and I'm getting phone calls from parents saying, you know, our kids really miss the tennis. Of all the things they're doing, they miss it. And it's not probably the tennis they miss so much. It's the friends, the coming up and having fun and playing. So, yes, it is very difficult.
And you can hear more from Gerry Clark in discussion with Greg Hughes on the 9 till noon show this morning in relation to the return of tennis. It's on our website, highlandradio.com. And for more information on Letterkenny Tennis Club, just check them out on Facebook as well. That's it, Catherine. I'll be back with our next bulletin tomorrow morning.
Weather now rather cloudy this evening, but with some sunny intervals and just light breezes. Variable cloud and clear spells tonight with a few passing light showers, lows of 1 to 5 degrees. Closing headlines. TDs have claimed they're being fed organic fertiliser by the government over the coronavirus. A number of TDs have been vocally critical of the approach the government is taking as it examines easing some of the current restrictions. The health minister says the reproductive rate for COVID-19 is now remarkably stable, and the assistant general secretary with Forsa says health workers locally here in Donegal feel let down by the government over efforts to provide childcare for them. That's the main evening news and sport on Highland Radio. For now, we're back with the headlines for you at 6 o'clock. Stand by. Chris Ashmore is here with all the latest in farming news and views.
Hello, good evening and welcome to Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, this evening I've been speaking with Tarlach Slaney, the IFA Development Officer for Donegal and Monaghan. Plenty of things to get through, and I began by asking him about how the association is dealing with day-to-day affairs during the COVID-19 lockdown.
We're in the same boat as everyone else at the moment now in regard to this lockdown. Now, we're fortunate that in IFA, from a staff point of view, we're able to work from home. So myself and Denise, who everyone is familiar with, does a great job for us there. And both of us are working in our respective homes, and we're able to take calls and try and help the members best we can. And of course, then the members who are in their positions, like Brendan as chairman, Peter deputy, and Adrian secretary, and all the other commodity reps, they're still taking calls from everyone and queries around the county. And we're just trying to help everyone best we can. And then, of course, on a national level, we're still liaising with our colleagues down the country as well, and trying to keep the thing running. Because, of course, we're expecting farmers to continue with their work at the minute. So we need to try and be a support to them by continuing ours as well. I suppose, you know, public meetings, which we've been very used to having, on a monthly basis, sometimes even more. This time of year, of course, we normally have been used to running some events out with our county executive meetings too, maybe on farm and that. Of course, that just isn't happening because of the times we find ourselves in. So like a lot of other businesses and organisations, we're trying to get to grips with using technology online. And this week now, we myself and Brendan, the chairman, and Adrian, the secretary. In fact, we were linking up with other officers around the country on Zoom meetings, and we're trying to just get the grips of that. Within our own county, we've been having teleconferences and video conferences, so we're trying to improve all the time with this and just keep the communication lines open, and hopefully we're improving all the time and roll out perhaps other things later on in the year. Well, for as long as this, as we find ourselves in this crisis, but learning all the time, every day is a school day.
Now, we hear quite a lot about isolation, and, you know, it can be a big issue for many farmers. And with the lockdown, there can be added difficulties there. And the IFA has been to the fore in promoting mental health. And I suppose just to reiterate that message, you know, if you have an issue, there is plenty of support out there.
Absolutely. And I suppose in IFA, we're very fortunate that we do have a structure in place through our county executives, and then of course at branch level, that, you know, our members can be very well connected indeed. You know, if anyone has an issue at all, I strongly urge them to be in touch with their local branch chairman or indeed any of us at county level, and we'll reach out to you best we can. But you know, we see out there, Chris, farmers have a great community spirit about them, and in times before they always seem to rally round one another. And maybe it's not just so handy face to face now in the case we're in, but you know, we can only ever be a phone call away and help the best we can. And we're seeing examples of that round the country. And in fact, IFA, a campaign we've put on at a national level and have been taking part in Donegal, is making calls out to each and every one of our members, and especially targeting those maybe in what might be the older and more vulnerable category at the minute, just to see how they're doing and are they all right for everything. And that's been overall a great success, and the members that are getting these calls are very receptive and very grateful. So it's good to be able to check in with one another at this time.
Now, this Friday is the deadline for the basic payment scheme, and no doubt the message is to make sure that you get your application in on time.
Absolutely. As you said yourself, Friday the 15th, that is the deadline for the BPS, the basic payment scheme that we're very reliant here in Donegal on. It's a direct support payment, and it's vital for the farms here in the Northwest. As well, a deadline for the BPS, it's also the deadline for the beet efficiency pilot scheme. And again, this is a very important payment for the sucker farmers out there in Donegal. You know, it's a payment that can be worth up to €90 for the first 10 animals in your herd. And so we really strongly urge for everyone that is eligible to apply for both these schemes, as it's vital money at this time for the farmers in Donegal. There has been calls for an extension of the deadline because of the crisis we find ourselves in. That's not been forthcoming by the department at the minute. If someone does put in a late application, there is late penalties applied by the department. So, you know, that's just why we really urge to maximise your payment. Make sure that you're contacting the department or your planner to get your submission in before the close of business on Friday.
Now, meanwhile, farming continues. We still have big difficulties in terms of the price being paid to farmers for several different commodities. It's difficult times even without COVID-19 because the return is just not what people feel it should be.
Yeah, I suppose, look, focusing on the beef price, which is, as you've noted yourself, this has been an issue now for quite a while, even before COVID, but certainly the COVID-19 pandemic has just thrown it up in the air even more. We're starting to see, I suppose, one or two more positive signs at the minute. I suppose in recent days we've seen a number of restaurants and of McDonald's chain are starting to reopen again, and this will certainly help the supply chains a bit as well. Domestically and also in the UK, which of course is Ireland's biggest export market, we're starting to see a slight rise in retail sales of beef products, you know, in and around 15% increase. So all this should be starting to play in, and we really now in IFA, we are calling for the factories to be paying a better price to the farmers for their product as a result of it. And maybe in recent weeks we have seen a slight rise in the base price by 10 or 15 cents a kilo, but we certainly need to see more. It needs to be much better than what it's currently at. And also comparing back to where it was at 2019, there's a 5.8% or thereabouts decrease in the kill at this point last year. So all these factors need to play into to the beef side of things to see an improved price there. I suppose look, sheep as well, a very important sector to Donegal as well. And the crisis we're in at the minute, where we're really calling out for the EU to suspend all non-EU imports of lamb during this crisis. We also look towards the support that was given in form of the private storage, or the APS, by the EU. And for the sheep sector, that works out at about 20 million. And we're needing a lot more, Chris, you know, and we're calling on Minister Creed and the government to really get down to it and provide farmers with a direct support at this time. The dairy side as well, you know, we're starting to see a lot of co-ops around the country release their price for April milk, and it seems in most cases to be dropping. Really, the farmers here and the dairy farmers in Donegal can't be taking much more of a hit at this time either. I often think of Donegal as a bit of a snapshot of the whole of Ireland, just about every sector, go on and on. But, you know, just even the potato side of things as well, you know, there's issues there with the shutdown of the retail sectors. The demand for the spuds just isn't there at the minute either. So, you know, we're needing to see just a bit more support from the government for this sector as well, because we don't want to get any worse for them at this difficult time.
And finally, Turlough, the whole farming community, the wider community, stunned this week by that sad fatality in Inishowen, and I'm sure everybody expressing their sympathy to those affected by it, and in particular the family.
Absolutely, Chris. That's terribly tragic news, and we extend our condolences to the family there in Mallon, and indeed to the tragedy over the border in Ballycastle, County Antrim as well, and just very, very close to home, and our thoughts are with them at this time, and just to remind everyone just to stay safe out there in these times, and just be careful of those and around them as well.
And that was Turlough Slaney, IFA Development Officer for Donegal. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The obituary notices for Thursday evening, the 14th of May. The death has occurred of Annie Mary Maguire, late of 20, Killiecloher Road, Oma, and formerly of Tullycar, Ahiarn. Due to government restrictions, the wake, mass and burial are strictly private to immediate family only. The death has taken place in London, England, of Gordon Pearson, formerly of Gillestown, St Johnston, youngest son of the late Sam and Elsie Pearson. Funeral arrangements to be confirmed later. The death has occurred of Karen Cahill, late of Glenlee Killybegs and Weir Road, Tuam. In accordance with government and HSE guidelines, the wake and funeral are private. Family Flowers Only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to Karen's Choice of Charity, Eagles Flying Wildlife Sanctuary, Ballymote, care of Kelly's funeral directors, Rafo. The death has taken place of Margaret Reid, Neat Toland, Dremdu Karen Dunnagh, and formerly of Rashini Ballyliffin. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are strictly private to family only. Donations in lieu of flowers to the oncology ward at Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member, or Liam Collins, funeral director. The death has taken place in England of Moya Sharkey, Ella Beg Burnfoot, daughter of Danny Sharkey. Funeral arrangements to be confirmed later. The death has taken place of Billy McConnell, formerly of Ahawee Crohan Lifford. due to HSC and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family only. Family flowers only. Donations if desired to Brinley Manor Nursing Home, care of Gibson Funeral Directors. And the death has occurred in Gateshead, England, of Susan Campbell, Nene, formerly of Corina Cullion Road, Letterkenny. Funeral to take place in Gateshead, England, on Monday next.